Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast with me, Charlie Lambrix, in Utah, where life is elevated, and Steve McNamee, the birthplace of flight, Ohio. How are we today, Steve?
We are good, Charlie, and you are so much more enthusiastic in your openings than I am in mine, and I would love to know our listener numbers, you starting the show versus me starting the show, because I'd have to imagine if I'm listening to myself bring that in, I would just turn it off. But you, I would listen, and I would listen start to finish, drop what I'm doing, and to hear every word that we have to say. So congratulations on that fantastic opening.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Numbers are about double, give or take, when I bring it in. No, not even close. But we were having a conversation about license plates and state slogans this morning, so I thought I'd bring that in.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. You know, you don't know this, Charlie, but for whatever reason, at the beginning of the year, this is the most non-running thing ever, so we're going to lose more listeners because of me. But in non-running news, though, for whatever reason, the beginning of this year, no explanation. I decided to make a list on my phone of all 50 states. And as I see that state license plate, I cross it off the list. And I'm down to about 7 to go. And believe it or not, I have Hawaii and Alaska already taken care of. And I couldn't even tell you right now off the top of my head what the rest of them are, but they're kind of expected states. Idaho, I think one of the Dakotas, just kind of the less populous lower 48 states. But so that's my contribution to your conversation that you had this morning, that I'm trying to find every state in the union.
I've done something maybe more dorky than that, Steve. I stopped doing this, but you know when you're using Google Maps and you cross the state border and it says, welcome to Ohio, welcome to Utah, welcome to wherever.
Yeah.
And it shows the little person with no eyes that kind of like represents that state.
Yeah, I have noticed that when I'm driving with maps on, yeah.
I used to screenshot those guys and I collect those states. And I was getting up there, and then for whatever reason, I wasn't backing up my photos, or at least my screenshots weren't, and I lost them. And I was like, okay, this is probably a good thing. This is control.
That's
cross-country. I was doing some cross-country moves by car, so I was collecting a lot of states, and I was driving. I remember when I flew in and out of Baltimore. I'm going to tie this back to running. Watch this move. I flew in and out of Baltimore for the the Marine Corps Marathon.
Yeah.
So I got Maryland, D.C., and Virginia over the course of a few days, and that's when I was really obsessed with it, and I was really impressed. And I was a little disappointed at the lack of difference between the DC little person and the Virginia one, but you know, I get it. But yeah, I think I had like 30 some states screenshot like that. Definitely did not have Hawaii nor Alaska, but I had a lot of states. So we're both dorks.
Yeah, we are for sure. I'm glad to know we're on the same page. I mean, this is something we've never discussed, this fascination with the most esoteric and mundane of little details of phones, or in my case, license plates, or
I've never shared this with anyone. My wife would help me with this. At first, she was really annoyed, and then she kind of got into it, too, because it's not the safest thing to do, you know, to grab a screenshot while you're driving. But
that crossed my mind. Real quickly, though, I did a race Thursday night that was a race in two states, Charlie. Do you know the race I'm referring to?
What do they call that, Ohio-Michigan Classic?
It is. It's the Ohio-Michigan Classic, and it runs up, it starts in Ohio, Toledo, or the Sylvania where I live, but this area is right on the border. So yeah, it starts very close to the border, runs north into Michigan. It's all country roads, and then it returns back to where it began in Ohio. So the majority of the race is actually in Michigan, but the start and the finish are both in Ohio, and then the after party is also in Ohio.
One of the best after parties any race has ever had, because I've done this race a few times when I was still in your neck of the woods. Awesome after party because it's at this quarry that has, what is that, a little amphitheater or just an outdoor stage with a bunch of picnic tables and stuff. So they have a band, they're grilling hot dogs and burgers or something. I think there's cheap beer available, and there's
There
like you can swim at the quarry, so it's definitely one of those. You're make giving me all these summer nostalgia vibes, bringing up the Ohio Michigan race. And if I
is.
remember right, always good race shirts, at least name brand. I want to say they were Nike shirts. Is that right? Is that
Well, I mean, lately they've been cotton, which I'm perfectly fine with. They've been a very thin and comfortable cotton. So I've
Yeah.
always enjoyed wearing their race shirts.
If you're not going to give me, as Steve would say, a brand shirt that I would buy a shoe from that same brand, so give me a Nike, a Brooks, etc. If you're not giving me that for a technical shirt, just give me a soft cotton. I'm with you there.
Not too much to ask, is it?
That's
But
a B, though. That's a B. That you're the best you can do is getting a B if that's your race shirt, though, right?
yes. Now, of course, the proviso to that is, it can't be a gaudy design, right? I mean, you can really get over the top with some of these race shirts, and I mean, this is our very first episode talking about this, but I could revisit it every episode, to be honest. But putting giant like chickens or things like that on a shirt is just a no-no. Just make it semi-classy, right, Charlie?
Okay, well, sometimes I've got to let me throw this at you, Steve. What if you, I don't mind this, and I see this and sometimes on race shirts. Of course, minimum soft, like a mixed blend or whatever. And I like a shirt that has something real small just on like, the breast of the shirt on the front, something real simple, logo, says what the race is or whatever. And then I kind of like a party in the back. I don't mind a mullet type shirt, real simple on the front, but give me a chicken, give me googly eyes, whatever. Just kind of go nuts on the back. I don't mind that at all. I feel like you can get pretty crazy on the back and nobody's like, what a weird shirt. When it gets weird on the front, you lose me. But
I
what do you think?
agree.
Mullet design.
Well, yeah, and I think what we're doing here is we're following the general form of classic concert t-shirts, when it was a big thing to go to a concert and buy the t-shirt, and it was always the band name would be on the front and it would be prominently displayed what band that you went to see and maybe some decoration, nothing usually over the top. And then the back would be the tour dates and maybe the album cover and some craziness. So that is fine, but it's when that nonsense gets put on the front of the shirt where every person you face is looking at your shirt, the gaudiness of the shirt, and they can't take you seriously because of your shirt. That's when it becomes a problem.
I've always find it really insane anytime, and this is big in the country scene, which modern country, let's not even go there, but there's a lot of complaints about modern country, but one of the biggest ones is just a huge picture of somebody's face on the front. Always found that so strange. Why anyone would that? And this might be a little bit sexist, but especially when guys wear it, I'm like, why would you want Garth Brooks' head 3 times the size of his actual head over your beer belly right now, man? What are you thinking? What are
Yeah,
you?
absolutely. What? And then Garth Brooks's faded face as you wash it many times, because we know that $40 shirt that you bought at the concert you're so proud of, is the cheapest ink and the cheapest crap available. So within 6 months, Garth Brooks is washed out, and even his hair and his face are almost the same color.
Back to the race, though. Thursday
You
night
know what?
race.
Okay. Well, let me ask, I guess. Let me get into this. Let me ask you a question here. Can I ask you a question to start, Charlie? You ready for this?
Yeah, sorry, I was sipping a brewski there.
Sorry.
Please.
That's all right. I didn't mean to be so wishy-washy in my intro to this little segment, but Charlie, can you run a PR and not be happy with the race. Are you able to do that? I mean, can you see the scenario where that is possible?
It would have a lot of things would have to happen for me to PR and not be. I could get 15 bee stings, stub my toe, maybe even get injured. But if I get a PR, especially if it's a traditional distance, which this race isn't quite, it's an 8K if I'm correct. Yeah. An 8K PR might not. The tolerance for how bad things can go, and I'm still pleased with the PR, goes down dramatically if it's an untraditional race distance. And the 8K isn't totally untraditional. I know it's a big part of like college cross country, etc. But if we're doing a 10K, a 10 miler, even half marathon, forget about it. I could get bit by some animal during a marathon, but if I PR, I'm still going to be really, really happy and have fond memories of that race and probably be pretty proud of my snake bitten tail the race. So yeah, I think it'd be pretty hard for me not to be pleased as punch when I
so
PR.
I think your condition that you put on it was going to be one of the things I cited, was the fact that the only time, and 8K is also a 5 miler. I mean, anytime you do a 5 miler, you can basically call it an 8K. I mean, the difference is pretty negligible. So,
4/100ths of a mile for those.
Almost nothing. So, I'm gonna guess I've probably done this distance, maybe 10 times in my life. So it's not a lot. I mean, well, right off the bat, okay. So I did run a PR. So all right, I should be happy. But let me start asking for you.
All you do is run PRs these days, Steve.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Listen, all right. Okay, I did run a PR. Okay, so first of all, the race itself, the experience I had, it was not an enjoyable experience. It was a hot night, as it traditionally is for this race. And I got a mile in and just started flop sweating, and I could not cool myself off. And after a mile, which I'm sure was my fastest ever first mile for this race, I was just hanging on for dear life with like 4 miles to go. So that part is the negative swing.
You used a term back there. I'm going to need you to explain. You say flop sweat?
Where it's just the sweat just pours out of you. And in my case, and I have friends that do this too, and apparently you don't, but I mean, you sweat to the point that it's not even cooling you. You know, the sweat is so thick. And it's all over my shirt and my shorts. It's like I was, you know, just jumped out of a pool. But you don't get that cooling effect. You know, the air hits you and it doesn't evaporate the water that's on your skin. So that's what I'm calling a flop sweat. It's just flopping out of your pores.
Did you get to the point that you were making squishy sounds with your shoes? They were so wet. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's far gone. I don't like the term flop sweat, not to be too hard on you here, Steve, but I feel like we do need a term when you flip that switch and you got the squishiness in your shoes. So maybe we can come up with something for that by the end of this.
Squish sweat.
I don't think we're getting much better yet.
Okay, well, we'll
time. Let this bake. We'll get there, though.
We'll marinate. Okay. All right. So that's number one. Okay. So the race itself was a negative experience, just because I was so uncomfortable during the race. I didn't have that mastery of myself. Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, you like to, in a race, you like to feel in control of your pace, and you can, you know, you can go with somebody, or you can, you know, you can close gaps or that sort of, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. In control. You feel it. You know you're going to run well. And if you can, no matter how bad a race goes, even if I don't PR, if I'm able to like finish strong and maybe my last mile is close to or my fastest, I'm also going to be pleased. But that was not the case for you Thursday night.
It was not. I did all of my passing of other runners in probably the first half mile. After that, I was getting passed just constantly. Footsteps were coming. And people would come by me, which is fine. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, more power to them. But I could do nothing about it. I mean, I couldn't fight back. I couldn't like try to hang, you know what I mean? That just that helpless feeling that I just wanted it to end.
But you PR'd.
Yeah, I know. We can go back to that all night long, Charlie. I PR'd. The other one, okay, so I got third in my age group, which I'm happy with, right? Third in your age group is pretty solid, right?
That
That
you a doohickey in general, that'll get you a doohickey, whatever it may be.
Okay, so I did. So I'm happy with that. However, first and second place in my age group, I heard their names announced as they finished ahead of me. So they were in my view, and I watched them run the whole time, knowing they were there. And again, with no power to close down that gap. And I didn't even care. I just wanted the race to end. And my competition that sat right in front of me, they basically stayed tantalizingly close for the entire race. And I just suffered. So
I
that
didn't
was
even.
another irritating fact.
But no wild animal bit you, or. And you didn't
No
get
wild
injured.
animal. One, all right, next one. I got more. I can go for quite a while here.
Please.
It was an 01 race. Do you know what an 01 race is, Charlie?
You did it in 2001.
No, it does involve time. You're right about that, but it's not the year.
Oh, I have an 02 race and I hate myself.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Oh, I know what this is. Please, though.
So yeah, so in the back of my mind, as I'm doing the math, as my miles click away, I'm kind of calculating pace, and I really think like, okay, I can still maybe hang on for PR, even though I have really no power to speed up at this point. But you know, the math I'm working out in my head, I'm like, it's gonna be close if I can just give a little more. And it was that moment where I finish, and you don't know your time. You have an idea of your finish time, and I'm looking at my watch. And like, oh, that's close, but it's going to come down to that ship time that gets posted in the final results. So it took me walking to my book bag to get my phone, and even to look at the time on my phone, I was sweating so bad I couldn't even unlock my phone. I mean, I was just drenched. So, you know, somebody asked me on the way, you know, how'd the race go? I was like, I honestly don't know. I mean, it's a lot's going to depend on my time. It's going to be close. And it did. It turned out being an 01,
Oh
which just,
man.
yeah.
An 8K, 4.96 miles, not a long race. The shorter the race, the more it hurts to have that 01, because each minute just means more, is more significant. You're
It
dealing
does.
with a smaller number, so
It
that hurts.
does. It obviously, I mean, I knew I would be close to a PR because I mean, honestly, I haven't really run that race very well. I just, as you can may discern from this, I don't enjoy the heats, but
You've
I
made
thought I
that
had a
abundantly
good shot
clear.
at getting down into the next minute, and alas, I could not do it.
So what was
So,
your
it was a what a 3101.
Nice.
So I mean, yeah, it was. I mean, it was good, but a lot of it was just because I went out. And yeah, I guess the other kind of annoying part was the beginning just felt so easy and so comfortable. And I think I passed mile one just thinking, I can do this all night. You know, I just had that sort of that self-satisfaction, like, oh, this is gonna go great. This is gonna be a wonderful
In my
night.
head, I was like, it was either a 31 or a 32, so that's why I was impressed when you said 31. That's an excellent time, Steve.
Well,
Now,
I'm glad I made you happy.
you did what I love too, which it's really hard because I just had this PR marathon, which I've mentioned maybe 50 times in the last four episodes that I ran a PR in the marathon. And when people ask my time, that's where I had an 02. I ran a 2:42:02.
Yeah.
And the good thing about an 8K is giving the seconds is standard, right? In general, 31:01 is normal. You wouldn't just say 31 minutes. Marathon is not that. Marathon giving the seconds is petty. So it just, I do have that little like, just my fist squeezes a little bit when I tell people, yeah, I ran a 2:42, and I'm like, don't say it. Don't you effing say it. And just leave it at that. Don't have to mention how close you were to 241. Just say 242 and move on. You've
Yeah.
definitely taken credit for, I haven't mentioned the seconds when it was in the 50s, so there's no reason to mention the seconds when it's 02. So,
Well,
got
as a
that
friend
right.
once encouraged me, in these situations, you may, if you really feel like you've earned it, I could say that I did run a 30-61 and feel a little better about myself, but
Yeah, that's like those, when people turn 30, they say they're 2010, 28, 29, 2010, because apparently 30 decade, 30, 10, if 40 is scary or whatever.
happening. Okay. So in all seriousness, yeah, Charlie, I'm happy, but there was just all these little
You sound it, Steve.
these little nuggets of negativity that made it like, you know what? I PR'd but yes, I did PR. I am happy, but yeah, it was it makes me look forward to fall racing, to be honest, because I just enjoy cool weather a lot more. So, but all right, you mentioned turning 30 or being in the 30s. I have to tell you a very interesting thing about the finish results for this race. Are
Please
you
do.
ready? All right. How old are you? Wait, how old are you, Charlie, again? Repeat your age.
I am 34.
You're 34. You're in your 30s. A fascinating thing about this race that nine runners over 40, that includes a couple in their 50s, finished before the first male runner in their 30s. Isn't that crazy?
I got to move back. What was the fastest 40-year-old time?
Oh my gosh. It was absolutely screaming fast. I do not recall off the top of my head because I generally only care about myself, but I'm gonna guess it was in 28s.
Yeah.
Now,
It's
this
such
was
a, it's insane. Like Toledo is way smaller than it should be. I'm considering the number of outstanding runners that live there. It's really something how much talent is in that small town in Northwest Ohio.
Well, what's and to me, and this isn't to throw shade because I know plenty of runners in their 30s that are solid runners, including some that ran that night. But what's interesting is just sort of the demographics of people in their 30s that are just, it seems like when I was in my 30s, I was just busy with other things. There's an airplane overhead. I apologize. God, it's going to be the slowest plane in the history of airplanes.
I don't hear it.
Oh,
Oh,
you
wait.
can't hear it? Okay. All
Any,
right.
wait, be quiet. Let's listen. I don't hear a
Okay.
thing. No.
Okay. Heavens. Okay. But like, so when I was in my 30s, I just think I was a lot more unfocused. I was busy with other things. And I think that's just a general, and you're kind of finding that out too, aren't you, Charlie? I mean, you've already looked ahead to having your second kid. You spent all day today building a kid kitchen, didn't you?
I did. I built a kid kitchen, and I only messed up twice.
And see, I spent all day doing planks and working out. Because my kids are growing up, so I can take care of myself. But it is an interesting shift in demographics that I think once, like from in my case, once I turned 40, I mean, there was sort of this discernible shift where I just felt like, I need to really, buckle down and pay attention to myself. And not that people or me in my 30s didn't, but I don't know. I don't know the best way to put it, but it
Well,
is an interesting. Yeah,
I
what are your
think
thoughts?
30 to 34 is the second most competitive age group. I think 25 to 29 is the most competitive. And then it might be even a tie between 30 to 34 and the younger one, 21 to 24 or 20 to 24. But I think that 40 to 44 is probably more competitive than 35 to 39, because to your point, it's just that time that a lot of people have kids or just slow down and don't, it's just not as competitive. And then When, yeah, I think a lot of people get a second win once they become masters, and then 40 to 44 gets competitive again. But I think it is one of those exceptions to, because then every older age group is then less competitive once you're above 40 to 44. But I think 35 to 39 is an exception to that, because it's just, to your point, people have kids, they're less focused, which I think I going to be. I do not see myself running as fast 35 to 39 as my times in 30 to 34.
And I think there's a renaissance that comes when when you do have more time, when your life kind of opens up a little bit, you spend, the early part of your adulthood kind of focusing in on career and kids and I'm talking in just wide sweeping generalities, in a demographic sense.
Yeah, it's
But
funny you say that, because one of the guys I ran with today said how his PR was when he was 39. And I thought, that's odd.
it is odd.
This guy is a bachelor, though. I don't know if that makes any difference, but so never married, never had any kids. So maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, PR'd at 39. I have another friend, a guest in the show, Brian Carotti. I think he was like 37 or 38 when he ran his PR. So it does
Yeah,
happen, but I
it
think
does.
it is the exception. I think, what would you agree with me? 40 to 44 is probably more competitive than 35 to 39.
Yeah, I have noticed that. Yeah, I would agree with you, and I guess the reasons are they're very interesting to think about, and I think you nailed them. You summarized them pretty well, but yeah, it's just a strange, I'd call it almost a demographic quirk. That you're physically and athletically probably in not probably certainly in better condition or you have better potential then, but I couldn't pull it off at that age. I definitely cannot pull it off at that age.
Yeah.
And I was running too. I was just I was I don't know. I didn't have the same fire or drive, or I was just sort of feeling my way through. And I don't know. When you turn 40, I can't even explain that. To be honest,
I think it's
maybe
just
you can tell
because
me.
it is such a huge cutoff between, masters. It gives you that shot in the arm of you're now in a whole different weight class of sorts. That you can be competitive in again. I know plenty of people who when they hit that 39th birthday, legitimately started, training for when they were 40 to hit that master's circuit and try and go for it right away. So I think there is something to that. And that's the end what I anticipate for myself, honestly.
And it was in the back of my mind too. So yeah, but I guess one interesting thing is when I gave you the that little statistic, I left out the fact that I said males, a 30 I think she's 37 or 30. I'm gonna say mid 30s female. I'm definitely not gonna get that one wrong because I know her and. One fantastic runner, but she ran right around a 30 minute, and she's in her mid 30s, and she was flying up the road from the gun, and I could see her pulling away until I couldn't see her any longer. But yeah, she was the fastest of the 30-year-olds of the or people in their 30s that right night. So hats off to her. She knows who she is.
God bless her.
Yes.
So that was a multi-state race. Have you ever done any other multi-state races, Steve?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm going to say no, Charlie. I do not believe I have done any other multi-state races.
I've done a few. I mentioned Marine
Oh, you have.
Corps.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
Marine
did the
Corps.
Marine Corps. I forgot that is.
I can't remember. It definitely is in Virginia and DC. It may touch Maryland as well. I can't remember. Maybe not. But then Flying Pig down in Cincinnati dips into Kentucky.
Yes. Yeah, it does. That's right.
Now, I've lived very close to state borders in a few different places, and I'm shocked at how infrequently, you Sylvania people who live right on the border rarely go into Michigan just to, make it a multi-state run. I realize how boring and farm fields and nothing to see Michigan is on that border, but I'm always shocked to see your runs, how like you can almost spit on Michigan where you're at, Steve, but you
Yeah.
rarely ever cross that line. Why is that?
I can say, so being on the border, our town here is it is called Sylvania. It's basically a suburb, but the line north,
Basically, it's textbook suburb, dude.
it is
You
textbook.
don't
Okay.
get more
Fair enough.
sub Sylvania.
Fair enough. I'm being coy about Sylvania, but as soon as you cross the border, you are into the sticks. It is as rural gets up there, even to the point that, you don't have a subdivision to run through. You don't have any type of path. You are on a country road, and so when you say you can spit into Sylvania from here, or, and sorry, into Michigan from here, I mean you can spit from Michigan. You can spit onto paths, subdivisions, parks. You just don't have any of that over the border, so.
There was a great opportunity there. I think you are a University of Michigan fan. If it's Michigan versus Ohio State, you lean towards Michigan. Am I right?
I do, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There
But,
was a
yeah.
great opportunity there for you to really bash Michigan. And I thought that's where you're going, but
Oh
you
no.
didn't. Oh, well. Yeah.
No.
I actually lived in Sylvania for like a couple months, actually. And I think I ran into Michigan only once to say I did it. And I was like, that was awful. Because it's also like no shoulder, busy roads where people are not paying attention and driving way too fast. So I didn't do
Yes.
it there. I did it frequently though when I lived in Cincinnati. I actually lived in Kentucky, so I would run into Ohio frequently. And when you visited me when I was living there, we did that. We did a multi-state run. And when I lived in Memphis, which is right on the border with Arkansas, I made it a point to run to Arkansas frequently. There was a really cool run there. We're also on the border of Mississippi, but I never did that. It didn't make sense for my place. And then when I was visiting my in-laws recently, they are pretty close to the border of Idaho, and I ran to Idaho from Washington State. So I don't
Oh.
know why these little quirks make runs more interesting, but at least they do for me. So I'll seek it out to make it a multi-state run. It just is. Well, geez, we spent the first couple minutes talking about our dorky state habits. No, it's no surprise that it makes me happy that when I can see that I crossed a state border on foot. So.
That is now this now years ago I read a book and it's about baseball, but it makes the point that like every baseball game and it was very pro baseball, it was celebrating the game point that I thought was interesting, but every baseball game you watch, something happens that has never happened before and will never happen again, and it's kind of your job to find it if you watch a baseball game, instead of it has the baseball has the reputation of being boring sometimes and
Yeah, but
monotonous.
I see that. That's romantic that there is something unique that's going to happen during that game, and
That
it
is
puts
true. And
on
I
that
would say this,
perspective.
that is true of running. Like every run you do, no matter how you get into this routine of running, whatever, however many days a week you run, in between races, but something's gonna happen on every run that's never happened before and will probably never happen again. And it's kind of your job on a run to find what that is. So this is what happened. I had a run just like I'm talking about, or just an everyday run, 5 mile loop I do all the time, same sights, same sounds, same path. So you would think nothing's going to happen out of the ordinary. This particular run, this was a couple of weeks ago, but I altered my course to avoid being invited to a wedding reception. How's that for something that's never happened before?
You're going to have to explain that.
All right. So I was running through a park that I run through commonly, the park Wildwood. And they have weddings at this park. So I'm on it's a weekend day and I look over and I see a wedding going on, which is kind of unusual. It's a neat thing. My son actually got married there. So I just look over and I see, oh, look, people getting married. And I realize that I know these people. Like this is people I know fairly well, not super well, but obviously no. I'm not going to name names, but go ahead, ask a question.
Not enough to get an invitation in the mail, but you know.
Yes. However, I'm thinking, so I'm doing my loop, which takes me past, and then it's going to take me back past the wedding again. So I'm thinking to myself, well, if it's breaking up, you know, they're going to invite me to the reception, because that's not a big deal. And it was kind of a very casual affair. And I'm just thinking, you know, they're going to feel obligated, or you know, even if they don't and they invite me, I'm going to feel obligated to say yes. It's like, I'm just not in the mood. You know, I don't, eh. So I'm running and I'm thinking in my head, like, how am I going to get out of this? You know? And I'm like, I want to do my loop, you know, it's my OCD loop. I don't diverge from my loop. So I'm getting to that point and I was like, you know what? I've got to cut this. And I did. I doubled back and I went down a side path and went the long way and added to my run. But I avoided the awkward making up an excuse that I couldn't come to their reception in case it happened. And I could see it breaking up. It would have happened. I guarantee I would have run into enough people that somebody was going to give me an invite, or at least social interaction, which could have led to an invite. So mission accomplished.
I think you're too generous with yourself. Who in their right mind? Okay, there's only a handful of people at this thing who could have invited you. Like, not any guest could have, right? It's either got to be the bride and groom themselves, or the parents.
Okay. I mean, I see where you're coming from. You're picturing like a banquet hall type of thing where there's tables set up and there's a table with the bride and the groom and there's a dance. It's nothing like that. I knew I had a pretty good idea of what this reception was going to look like. It was basically a cookout, and it would have been nothing to invite one more person to grab a paper plate and load up with
provisions. All the wedding is, it's still a wedding, and only the bride and groom or the parents can invite somebody. There's no way anybody would have invited you that wasn't one of those six people or more, if you have, you know.
Yeah, that could have happened. That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to say that's knocking down the chances of invitation significantly right there, and that there's only a handful of people. Secondly, obviously, did you think they were going to invite you in like right away? Like, here it is, come on over. Because mid run, dude.
No. The
would invite you to come back later. This is your assumption, right?
No, well, so the event that I believe I would have been invited to was off site, but easy for me to get to. So it would have been like, hey, you know, when you get done with your run, come by, that sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Why are you afraid of that then? You're like, no, I got to get this run done and shower, and I got a couple things around the house. I'm sorry. That's all you got to say. And you can't offend them because you weren't invited to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think I was. Maybe they invited my wife. That's what I was worried about. Anyways, this is all going through my mind, and it's easier just to avoid the social interaction than it is to navigate the murky waters of turning down an invite.
You could have just pretend like you didn't hear them and later said, oh, I had my earbuds in or something like that.
But the other thing is, I would have stuck out like a sore thumb. I mean, as far as being seen, you know, if had they have seen me, I mean, this was a weekend night, and here I am looking as usual magnificent, and all these people all dressed to the nines. Well, they were dressed up pretty well. I stuck out like a sore thumb. It would have been me among a sea of well.
Certainly, somebody's gonna see me.
Yeah, what?
Regardless of what they're wearing, whenever you're in my peripherals and running, I can't take my eyes off of you. So I know what you mean. Interesting. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you got out of it, though. So I don't know if that's really what the guy meant with his baseball book, though. I think he was more making the point that you do this exact same run and there's something unique, maybe a bird you've never seen. Who am I kidding? You've seen all the birds. Maybe just there was a smell from somebody cooking something that you've never smelt on that run before. There's always going to be something unique happening in even your standard run. I think you just completely changing course is not what the author had in mind.
Probably, I mean, maybe that's true, but sometimes you have to look a little more deeply than you would than other times. And so in that case, I think that's about as far as I had to look that
Yeah,
I
that
could
was
say
interesting.
that's something that's never happened before and will never happen again.
Now, did they break up? Did this break up a segment for you? Did this cost you
No, it didn't. It's just it's kind of my standard, and you have, I'm sure you have the same. Everybody has the same. You have your go-to loops,
Oh my,
when you just
it's getting
don't
control.
feel.
Four times a week, my loop is my work loop, and that's all I've been doing during the week, and it's driving me crazy, but it's still the best run available from work, so I'm going to keep doing it, but
Now,
it's
how
getting
long is that loop?
6 miles, and it's an out and back with a loop that is the notorious bird poop loop, but it's an out and back, and it actually is a cool run. It goes like right under the flight pattern for SLC International Airport. There's all these signs that like you can't stop. Like stopping is not allowed. You have to like keep moving when you're on this path that goes, and you have to push open some gates that can lock in an emergency situation. And there is barbed wire fence because it's secure locations around you. And it used to be a golf course, but then like the airport just bought it. They're like, we don't need golf balls and fuselages here. So now it's just kind of this cool running path that's right by the airport. And when you're running with others, sometimes you have to pause the conversation because there's literally a plane right overhead and you can't hear a thing. So it is kind of a cool run.
That is a cool run.
But when you do it multiple times a week, it too gets old.
Yeah. So I guess one question I have, and I have this on certain loops, but certain loops, like say, you said it's a 6 mile loop. Now, do you have a loop you consider a short 6 miles, and then do you have a loop that you consider a long 6 miles?
Well, that's the thing about distances, Steve.
Now, hold on. I know what you're going to say, but I have a 4 mile loop for my house that just seems like anytime I do it when I need 4 miles, this loop just seems like it just takes forever. It is a mental grind to get through this 4 miles. Where if I go the opposite way, I can do 4 miles. I've got another loop, and that thing goes by like a it's like a I snap my fingers and I'm done. So, I mean, there's a psychology to certain loops and certain distances that make them go by so fast. So,
I guess there is things like I had a 5 mile loop from my old apartment that I gained like 800 feet of elevation gain over the first half of this 5 miles, because of course it's a loop, right? So that was felt much more than 5 miles just because it had so much effort. Anything that you have to cross a bunch of busy roads, or you're on the shoulder of a busy road, it just is mentally less appealing of a run than, like an isolated path of sorts. I don't know that it feels longer, but it's mentally more difficult to get out and do that. I'm with you on that. Although sometimes when I'm on, a busier road on the shoulder, that's when I just run faster because I want it over with. So maybe a quicker the same distance, but
Why
yeah.
is that? I do that too. Now, do you think you're showing off?
It
You
may
think
be.
you want drivers to like, hey, look at that guy? Or why do you do that? I mean, I do it too, but I don't know why.
I think there's a bump in adrenaline, just knowing that there's speeding cars. You have to keep your eyes up to jump off the road if somebody's not paying attention or whatnot. So I think that just your heart starts beating faster, your adrenaline rises, and that's going to just push your pace faster. So I think that's a big part to do with it. But yeah, I think everybody does. You know, if you're just on a busy road, you're going to
run
faster.
Yeah, I have that situation. I go over a bridge, like over an expressway. So I'm on a busy road to begin with, and I'm going over an expressway, which is busy underneath me. And I swear, every time I do that, I without any kind of forethought or purposefulness to it, I'm just suddenly just hammering for that quarter mile it takes me to get over that bridge. And I can just feel my heart just racing, and I don't do it on purpose. And I don't even necessarily like it. I don't know why I do it, but sometimes you just need the variety.
Passing people too, even if you're on just your standard bike path, you see somebody going slower in front of you. As soon as you see them and realize you're going to eventually pass them, I speed up, and I'm certainly going faster.
Unconsciously.
Yeah, to pass them. I got called out. No, it's involuntary, I think. It's just, I don't know, habit. You see somebody, you know you're going to pass them. You want to pass them. So you just do that sooner rather than later, I feel like. I got called out on it actually this morning on a run. There was a group of four of us running together, and there was a group of maybe eight people in front of us. And when we passed them, one of the people running with me, because I was sort of in the front pushing the pace, she's like, "You sped up to pass the group." And I was like, "Yeah, that happens. Sorry." That may be a little bit of showing off too. Or maybe I just didn't want to get invited to a wedding or something, you know? So yeah. Just got past them as fast as I can. People see me and they're like, "We need to include him in major social functions happening in the immediate future."
So had like really just unique things happen on a run that have nothing to do with the run. Like one time I saw a couple getting engaged on a run. One time I saw there was a couple that had just gotten married and went to the park. And this is all at Wildwood. This is all the park down from my house. But I mean, once in a while, you just see some kind of strange thing like that.
I've run past weddings, like you mentioned, none that I knew the people. And that I'll just stay quiet because they don't need me. But what I do...
What would you do?
I can feel like... In my head, at least, I'm like, "Oh, I should say like congratulations or something." But it's like, no, this is their wedding. Who knows? They might have just mentioned, you know, Nana, who would love to be here right now. And then some runner's like, "Woo!" You know,
if anyone has reason, these two should not be married. Speak now.
Exactly.
Hey, so who's that guy?
I just try and fade into the background in those events. But you know what I see, and I generally do call out is, and you probably see this a lot running at Wildwood, is engagement photos. When I see people out doing engagement photos, I'll give them a congratulations because I think that's just nice, you know.
Have you ever attempted to get into the engagement photo? I mean, have you ever tried to run?
No.
No? Okay.
Absolutely not. I try not to photobomb anybody. Especially if I don't know them whatsoever.
Well, they take up the whole path sometimes, though. I mean,
goodness, it's okay. I would be mad if I was going for a segment, though, and you just see like an entire path taken up with a photo shoot. That would be, I don't know how I would react in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is fun when those types of things happen on a run, those non-running things. I mean, the park still has to function. You know, life still has to function outside of your run. And I've seen the immediate aftermath. Well, one time I did see an actual car accident happen, but I've seen the aftermath of a car accident. I arrived at the scene before emergency vehicles did. And as it turned out, I kept running like I didn't know what to do. Everybody was out of their cars, so I just figured I'm not going to do any good here. But I don't know. You see some strange things.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that sort of the bread and butter of our podcast? I think some of our best episodes have been, you know, seeing wildlife on the run, run-ins with the law, et cetera. Yeah. Those unique moments are what can make the daily grind of running interesting and fun. That's some of the best stories. It's not necessarily us talking about races and things that happen during a race, but those just insane things that happen one out of every 30 or 40 runs that is really exciting to talk about and interesting and give some flavor. I mean, that's why we do the podcast, right? That's some of the best stuff we talk about. Like that time I saw a deer jump over a fence and trip and fall. I just see this deer and I'm just bracing myself for to be amazed by its gracefulness, and then it falls and I'm like, well, huh. Deer falling. Anytime you see an animal lose its like natural grace that animals generally have, it always is kind of like, well, life is funny sometimes, isn't it?
Absolutely. What is more funny than the misfortune of a squirrel? Or and squirrels are so just self-confident and so just elusive, and when one has a gap, it's just hilarious.
Oh, for sure. Similar to a squirrel happening around the home is anytime you see your cat trip over or fall off something or get trapped in something and have a freak out, it's like you have so much grace 99% of the time, and when you have these momentary gaffes or faux pas, it is hilarious.
Yeah, that's my cat. Cats especially. I'm not a cat, but I don't own a cat, but in my case I have a dog that it's the same kind of thing. Just any animal that anything is an aberration from their usual, like you say, grace. That is hilarious. Nonstop comedy there.
I have a cat who's not as thin as he once was, and sometimes he attempts jumps he probably used to be able to pull off, and when he crash lands, it's hilarious. It's really funny. And Steve, I think we've gotten to a point that we're talking about our animals having faux pas, so I think it's time to wrap this one up. I have no idea what song to close this one out with.
You don't?
No.
You know, all right. So it's probably not even on theme, or I mean, it's nothing we talked about. That's I heard funny. The song earlier today, and I just, man, like, I haven't heard the song forever, and I love this song. And next time I am asked to think of a song to close out our podcast, I'm going to say Supertramp, Goodbye Stranger. I love that song so much, and I don't hear it often enough, and every time I do, I go crazy. So why don't you yourself listen to Supertramp, do Goodbye Stranger, and just totally rock out.
You're an Apple Music guy, right? You don't do Spotify, you do like Apple Music?
I do Amazon.
Amazon, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Great guy. Anytime I find myself hearing one of those songs, one of those that every time I hear it, I start bobbing my head, I try to immediately, as soon as I can, add it to my liked songs mix on, I use Spotify, and I'm always glad I do, because I've just now got like a 400 song playlist of just stuff that every time I hear it, I want to turn it up, and I bop my head along, and gosh, that's great.
It really is.
Technology is the best. So we're doing Supertramp to close this one out. We are the Running Buds. You can contact us via email, runningbudspodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. Just put in at Running Buds Podcast. Give us a follow there. We're also on Strava. If you just search at Running Buds Podcast, you can also find us there. Last but not least, Twitter at Running Buds Pod. Until next time, guys, we are the Running Buds. Oh, wait, Steve.
Yeah.
Did we think of a thing to call a run that's so sweaty? The best I could think of was it was a real squisher. Double foot squisher. It was a squishy.
I mean, that works for me.
Know what that is?
I mean, that is the standard for what really makes a sweaty run is when your feet squish. So I think it's gotta come back to that.
Yeah. So it was a hot run. It was a real squisher. Double feet. I think that's it.
Wonderful.
All right. Till next time, guys. We are the Running Buds. Bye.
See ya.
Running Buds.